You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
Official, right?
Bueno, mi gente, welcome back to season two of La Verdad Podcast. And damn, I'm so excited to be back.
I'm so nervous. I don't know why.
It's like we have an audience looking at us.
First time.
I know we're not like used to the little house setup. So
yeah.
Before, this is Christian, by the way, for those that are viewing the podcast for the first time, and those that have tuned in for the first time, if you're listening to the podcast app. Before we even begin, I want to take the opportunity to make sure that you guys like us on Facebook. Go to La Verdad LTD on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you go over to YouTube, which we're going to be at now, go ahead and subscribe to our channel. That is going to add, when you hit the little button that has the little, I think it's a thumbs up or a plus, then you get a notification on your phone whenever we're going live or whenever we're doing we uploaded a podcast onto YouTube, and you could actually check out some of the awesome guests that we're going to talk about in a little bit that are coming to the podcast this year. We're actually in a new location, right, V-Fig?
Yep.
You didn't introduce
yourself. My bad, V-Fig on the mic. I'm just kidding.
We're actually,
this is so weird. This is so different.
We're actually in a new location. If you notice, the backdrop is no longer the black and the white and the little attic setup that we have. We actually,
I don't think anybody knew it was an attic, but it's okay.
Well, I just put it out there now. So they're going
to
be looking
now
for
that
it.
You're moving to bigger spaces.
Bigger
you can you say know? That you had an attic. It's
so, so we've been blessed and fortunate enough to Definitely. Be able to work out an awesome partnership with the Segundo Ruiz Babies Cultural Center, which Omar is representing here with us today, and we'll introduce them in just a bit, where they have graciously helped us with a location now that we'll be able to use for our podcast. So it's our first time here. Excuse us if we have a little kinks and some little problems here and there. I think that's what makes a podcast, right? It's not supposed to be so, like, really, really, really strict and professional like some of the radio shows that we used to listen to. The podcast is more like homegrown and chill, and yeah. We could talk and all these crazy things. So with that being said, we want to welcome Omar back to the podcast. This is the second time. And what a way and what an awesome way to start season two with Omar, who kind of was in the middle of season one. So
yeah.
How's it going, man?
Wow, it's been going really well. I remember we talked a lot about salsa in that one.
Maybe yeah.
We can talk about other things just so that we don't. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
but we do need to talk always about salsa. But yeah, we've been keeping really busy, and we think that this podcast out of Segundo Ruiz Belvis is one thing that I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I wanted to maybe produce our own or something, but it just makes so much sense to partner with you because you guys have the passion, you know the culture, you know,
yeah.
you know the all the technical. So I'm very happy. Segundo Ruiz Belvis put out a series sponsored by the Chicago Community Trust for the new year, mm-hmm. for 2018. So I think that we were finishing La Caras Lindas series,
yeah.
or in the middle of it when I. So now we started Borinquen Me Llama, which is the new series after Hurricane Maria, and bringing the artists, always with the intention of helping the artists that are coming from the island, having them collaborate with local artists, and also, of course, very important, giving them the opportunity to keep Puerto Rico in the conversation.
That's one of the beautiful things that I've come to notice of the Cultural Center. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But one of the funny part was that when we did the first podcast, it was mostly about salsa. And I was telling, I was talking to my dad.
I basically was like very silent for that part of it.
I was talking to my dad. He's like, salsa otra vez, ¿verdad?
Man,
and I'm like,
boring her.
We're going to have to.
It wasn't boring. I was just like, I can't really contribute. I'm sorry, guys.
No, if you guys have a chance to go back to the season one, and if you're a salsa head like we are, check out that interview. Today, we're going to talk more about what the Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural Center does and some of the visions and some of the goals goals that we have coming up this season, as well as what we're doing with SRBCC. So I don't want to disappoint our listeners that were like, "Damn, I thought one more." I'm like, "This is." We'll talk a little bit about it.
There'll be a lot of that.
There always has to be some of it.
Always, always.
So, and then one of the other things that I really wanted to touch upon was this Borinquen Me Llama series, mm-hmm. Which has been able to bring back right that feeling, because I guess we lost, not lost, but before Hurricane Maria, I feel like a lot of people weren't really touching upon the culture, the roots, right, mm-hmm. back to Puerto Rico. And I feel like because of Hurricane Maria, there has been this new resurgence or this new, esta nueva gana mm-hmm. de saber de lo que está pasando en la isla. Do you feel the same way?
Yes, definitely, of course. I mean, you have a historical moment like what everybody went through, mm-hmm. and it just pulls people together, mm-hmm. and it helps us really put the message out there of yeah. everything that we can bring. And I think it's important to keep it in the conversation. I think that this is what we're trying to do with the series.
Now, was this series already in mind before Hurricane Maria, or it happened because of?
It's really interesting how it all happened. I made a proposal to the Chicago Community Trust about a series that would be, as always, culturally entertaining, of course. But we wanted to get a little serious because of the debt, the debt that Puerto Rico is facing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to have events that would be a mix where we would have visual arts, or where we would have also music that we are more known for. But I wanted to really go into other forms of art. And when we proposed it, we thought if we're going to have a show or a visual arts component, it has to address what Puerto Ricans are going through in the island. And at that time, the big yeah. thing, and it continues to be, of course, and mm-hmm. now it's exacerbated with the hurricane, right. is the debt, yeah. right? And so how are artists reinventing themselves in Puerto Rico to create a post-crisis or during or right in the middle of the yeah. crisis economy, right? Of course, you have now with Hurricane Maria, what happened was that the message was even more important. So when the Chicago communities funded it, it was right around the time when Hurricane Maria happened.
Wow.
And then we gave it another angle mm-hmm. based on the hurricane. So now the artists that are coming this week, and this is probably our biggest venture of the entire year, it's going to be the public art series that we are completely new to it and happy about all the surprises that it will bring, and all the amazing artists from Puerto Rico that are going to be doing murals in yeah. Hermosa, that are going to be doing murals in Humboldt Park, that are going to be doing murals inside the center also. So excited.
I want to talk a little bit of the arts in Puerto Rico, and I think you mentioned it in when you were talking about the idea of this Borinquen Me Llama, mm-hmm. was that a way for the arts to become some sort of like a job or lucrative, or be able to get some finances behind it. Has that always been the case in Puerto Rico? I mean, you go back and forth a lot, so you mm-hmm. see and you interact with artists that are in the island. Mm-hmm. How is it over there? How was it before Maria?
To survive as an
getting
artist?
Work, getting jobs, you know?
So I think that we have, of course, as a Puerto Rican, I seem like I'm biased, of course, right? But I think we have a lot of talent in a very small island, mm-hmm. right? And we have a lot of amazing independent artists that are doing great work. I think there's you could say that there's a boom in the arts in Puerto Rico. I think that, and obviously when you have a historical moment like what we've been through and what Maria meant, it also is fuel for inspiration for all these artists.
Big time.
And it's a moment that we all have to recognize. In terms of surviving as an artist, it's very hard.
Yeah.
And I think that an artist survives by the local scene, but also survives by touring.
Oh, big time, yeah.
And I think that we can help. We can help them be successful in Puerto Rico.
One of the things
that's really what I think it's going to be different from our approach. It's not just mm-hmm. about bringing them here is also about how they sustain themselves in Puerto Rico.
One of the things that I've noticed too from you know, just following a bunch of different people that are in Puerto Rico and different artists, is that I feel, and perhaps you probably feel the same way, and we talked about this last time, was that a lot of the artists in Puerto Rico, in order to make ends meet, they're doing a bunch of different things. You know, you might be somebody that does arte plástica, you might be somebody, but you're also doing murals, and then you're also doing a t-shirt line and a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All at the same time. Being that, like I said, that you interact a lot with these artists, do you feel like they have, they get burnt out faster?
Yeah, I think that the life of the artist is the life of the artist, no matter where, right? But yeah, definitely Puerto Rico is going through a crisis. There are certain groups that are having even a harder time. Like, for example, talking about salsa bands are really big, so like it's really hard to contract, you know, salsa bands right now. But that's what artists are doing. They're reinventing themselves. They're looking for options. For example, El Macabeo.
Uh-huh.
You know, many of them have side projects and smaller projects because they know that El Macabeo is gonna go out and gig, but it's you know, 11 guys or so. So they know that those gigs are gonna be very specific, are gonna come at certain times, and they're gonna have all the, you know, private events and all the shows that they need. But they also need to go and look for those smaller gigs and
El guiso donde sea.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. They have to find ways to break up and form smaller projects.
And the reason I brought that up is because I kind of want to motivate those that are watching the podcast or listening to a podcast to take a look at this series, right? Mm-hmm. Because we are bringing artists from Puerto Rico, and we're trying to give them expose their art here, right? Mm-hmm. And expose their work in the outside of Puerto Rico, because you mentioned, you know, one of the best ways is to leave the island and go and tour around the U.S. Yeah. So if they want to purchase tickets, or when is the next date for one of the events in the series?
Shows here?
Yeah.
So we have basically we have a whole bunch of free events, and actually every event at Ruiz Belvis is free. It's just that you have to get those free tickets early. If you don't, then they run out. So we put out for the community, half of our tickets are free online for the community, and then when those run out, we do ask for donations because, you know, we have to sustain the space.
Got bills to pay, right?
But that has worked out really well. I think that we can, and sometimes we even open it up for more free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
The next event is the Ifet show.
Okay.
So basically, one of the things that Ruiz Belvis does is, if an artist in Puerto Rico, like Ifet, if they're gonna come, we're gonna try to book them in other places as well, which is something that is not usual.
It's pretty cool
for a promoter.
Yeah.
Right. So usually for-profit promoters don't want competition.
Yeah.
So
right.
They're not gonna bring the artist and then sell it to another promoter. Yeah. I do that.
He's like, I stand out. This is how we're different.
Now, is that common with other cultural centers, or is that something unique to SRBCC?
I think that the only comparable is Old Town School of Folk Music, because we do free shows. We do free shows together. We partner. We bring the artists together. That right now we have what's called the Extended Play Series with the Old Town School of Folk Music, where they kind of adopt us. And every time, or six times a year, that they bring an artist in consultation with us, it's curated primarily by Old Town, but it receives significant input from Segundo Ruiz Belvis, and to the point where this year we were able to tell Old Town, okay, for the Extended Play Series, we have six shows with you. Mm-hmm. You know what happened in Puerto Rico. I need three of those six to be Puerto
and
Rican
big
artists,
shout out, man.
And they said yes.
Big shout to the Old Town School of Music, because for a long time, when I was growing up, that was one of the only spaces that had some good artists coming from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So they kept it going, and now we have the Segundo Ruiz Belvis, who's also bringing a bunch of different artists also from the islands.
We always look to partner, and Mateo Mulcahy, the director of community programs there, is just... He's kind of like a mentor to me. In a way, I got into doing concerts after my collaborations with him at Old Town. So
nice. So back to the sharing artist. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing Ife, but you're also taking them to other spaces.
Yeah. So I had a meeting at the beginning of the year with David Chavez.
Okay.
And we were gonna talk about all ways of collaboration possible. Mm-hmm. He was very interested in Ife because I we've worked with them every year since they came out, basically. Yeah. And he told me, you know what? I think that they would be great for this festival that we're just starting. The name wasn't even a thing, you know. They didn't even have a name. So now it's gonna be called the Latinx Festival. It's gonna be at Navy Pier.
Nice.
And it's gonna be an amazing stage. Awesome. The Polk Brothers stage is like in front of the lake. It's beautiful, right? So I was like, that's a good gig for Ife.
Man, that's really
cool. Good for them. Yeah. Right? And before anything else, it's good for the artist. So we were able to book them there, and then we were able to, with the funding from the Chicago Community Trust, you know, pay for all the other expenses related to the SRBCC show. Yeah. And got them their stay, you know, wow. Got them everything. So that's how we make it happen. Otherwise, SRBCC alone, we don't, you know, it would be hard for us, you know?
Yeah.
Because we want to bring them in good conditions, right? So so we have a really nice relationship with Ife, and now I'm looking also into how do I take it to the next level. So how do we put Puerto Rican artists in the international showcase? And that's what I've been doing with this, attending this World Music Expo.
Wow.
And I'm going sponsored by the Driehaus Foundation for the second year to promote Puerto Rican artists at the World Music Expo.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah.
Is it confidential?
Yeah, you just stay busy. You're doing big things. Awesome.
What exactly would happen? Like, what is the... ¿Cuál es la movida?
So think about the biggest international music conference.
And that happens where?
This year is at the Canary Islands.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Last year was at Poland. And the Driehaus Foundation is one of our most important funders. Mm-hmm. They have a fund with the MacArthur Foundation that supports small arts organizations. And they have a professional development piece where you can apply to go to conferences and these things. So they have seen the value in me being able to promote Segundo Ruiz Belvis as a nonprofit music venue at the World Music Expo, and at the same time promote artists from Chicago and from Puerto Rico. So they're investing in that, and I can't be, you know, more thankful.
That's an experience. Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah.
You stay busy, man. Mm-hmm. How do you do it, man?
I love my job, man. Yeah.
It definitely shows.
That's one of those things too. Like I a lot of people, before we even started the podcast, we mentioned that this is season two and we had a little break. Mm-hmm. And some people were like, oh, are you going to continue the podcast? I'm like, you know, this is something that I love doing. I love being able to meet other people like yourself that I could feed off of, right? And then I could continue. I'm like, man, if he's doing it, I know I could do it too. And I could keep going. And it's like we could vibe with each other.
You guys fuel each other.
Definitely. Yeah, it's the best way to
do it. Man, I've been wanting to start a podcast forever.
He's in all these conversations that he's like, oh, yeah, I was talking to Omar. I was talking about this and that. I'm like, oh, my God.
No, it had to happen.
I saw Omar more last week than I saw him. Yeah.
That's not good. Get to that point. That's not good.
So let's talk about the center, the Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural Center. We did a little bit of that in the first podcast that we met. Yeah. But then, like I said, we got into some salsa stuff and forget it.
Yeah. I
know that the center has a real deep emphasis in the Afro-Latino culture and the community. Can you tell me how it got developed and where it's heading to now?
Yeah. Segundo Ruiz Belvis is the oldest Latino cultural center in Chicago. It's not just the oldest Puerto Rican, it's the oldest Latino cultural center in Chicago. So, 47 years now.
Wow.
It started very much as a product of the civil rights movement. It was very much, it had a different name. It was called the Latin American Defense Organization.
Wow.
That was the original name of Segundo Ruiz Belvis. And that's a pretty militant activist name, right? So, and then at some point in the 70s, there was a shift to arts and culture, but very much looking at changing the name and also bringing the culture of the African diaspora. So mm-hmm. Segundo Ruiz Belvis, as the biggest abolitionist in the history of Puerto Rico, yep. other than Betances, mm-hmm. they were like a team.
Yep.
So Betances and Ruiz Belvis, big abolitionists. So we're going to name the center after this great abolitionist. And that kind of set the tone for a cultural center very much rooted in the African traditions of Puerto Rico more than anything. With collaborations with our Cuban brothers and sisters mm-hmm. and Dominicans, we would do Latin American type of events. But it wasn't being done so much. It was very focused on Afro-Puerto Rican cultural identity and everything. So that, I think that has... that it will always be the focus and base, but I'm not afraid to expand in terms of the Afro-Latinidad. Yeah. It's such a bigger concept, and it's so important that we see the similarities with other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time mm-hmm. ever, our abolition of slavery event, that is a big event for Segundo Ruiz Belvis that we've been doing for many years, I decided to do a headliner from Venezuela because I wanted to bring the roots of Latin America and see the similarities. And it was amazing because it was an opening act by Buya, of course. There mm-hmm, has to be mm-hmm. Bomba. So, and we had an incredible opening act by Bomba, by Buya. And then they jammed together at the end. And that was magical because... there were so
flavors
many.
And
it was beautiful. It was one of the most successful, most amazing shows we've had here. And that was with Betsaida Machado y La Parranda El Clavo.
Nice.
Guess what? I met the manager at the World Music Expo.
Wow.
So all these things are starting to give fruit, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Mateo was like, so they supported it as an extended play also. So we are kind of... you know, having these collaborations where we can bring the Afro-Colombians, we can bring the Afro-Cubans, we can bring, and it gives us more stages, more presence as Puerto Ricans as well.
Now, has music been something that you have kind of brought into the mix once you started, by the way, you're the executive director?
Yes.
At the Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural mm-hmm. Center. We should have mentioned that in the beginning. Because they're probably like, man, well, how do you know so much about the... Hey man, we've been out.
It's
just kidding. It's season 2. We're barely waking up. It's early in the morning,
things, guys. We'll get it.
No,
we'll
but
it.
Has music been something that you've kind of wanted to put more emphasis in order to promote the culture, or has it always been something the center has done?
No, the center has always been focused on music, bomba, plena, rumba. Actually, I started at Ruiz Belvis learning to play the drums.
Yeah.
You know? So I was looking for a place to learn, and I had just moved from Puerto Rico like 2 years ago or something like that. And now I've been here 18 years. So as a volunteer, I started like observing, but and then I became a board member, and then one thing led to another. I said, no, I want to dedicate full time to this.
Yeah.
So I found a way to.
And that's great too, because I feel like music has always been a huge part of the expression of the culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
in order for you to when I look at a musical act, and if I could feel the music, si se me paran los pelos, it tells me a bigger story than reading a book, mm-hmm. right? Or reading an article of that artist. If I could just feel it and I could see the love, that's why I like Buya so
much. It brings people together too, which is so
and
important.
Buya, and the family of all these Buya members they all started at Segundo Ruiz Belvis, so that. Of key members of Buya, like for example Roberto, Ibeliz, mm-hmm. you know, all those guys, los primeros piquetes were here, but in the Milwaukee Avenue location, 1630 something, Milwaukee, 32. And that, of course, you know, that's a huge responsibility, a lot of pride. Mm-hmm. Buya is really one of the best bomba groups in the world to
mm-hmm.
me.
It's a big,
big shout out.
Yeah,
they were on this podcast.
Yeah. And it's from.
And we're going to have to bring them again.
And Ibeliz can go to any bate in the world and se la va con.
And throw down.
She'll kill it. Kill, hands down.
And all of those guys.
Yeah.
Piro is just an amazing male dancer. I think that he floats, man. Mm-hmm. It's
like this thing where, like, how do you do it?
There's this picture of him where, like, he's like, it's like a moonwalk, but it's bomba. But, and I'm just so proud of them. I want to go to the World Music Expo and put them in festivals.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah,
that's gonna happen.
It's like in his to-do list, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So also, one of the talks that we've had, and you mentioned it earlier, was bringing these muralists and artists from Puerto Rico that are. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Of course, yeah. We have to. It's happening like in a couple of weeks.
I'm excited. I'm excited about it. I've been telling the group about it. We all love art. Art is a big piece of La Verdad. And it's another big piece of what the cultural center is doing as well. So you're bringing a group of artists from the island as well.
Yeah.
Part of this Borinquen Me Llama series.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Let me know.
So the public art series is something that I've been thinking about for a long time, but it's a very ambitious project, and it took a big effort from both sides, you know, and being able to make it happen, and also from the local artists from Chicago that have been amazing. So Santurce Slay, the biggest public art festival in Puerto Rico, one of the most recognized and respected in all of Latin America.
Yeah.
Basically, they took all these abandoned buildings in a very depressed area of Santurce, and they
decked it out with some.
Made them come alive, right?
Yeah, the first year it happened, it was like, oh my God, this is really happening. And then now they've done 6 festivals. They're going on the 7th. The founder of that festival is Alexis Busquet.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like the mastermind behind it. And my brother, as an artist, has always been a big fan. And he was always calling my attention. Manuel was always calling my attention. You got to see what these guys are doing. And I'm like, wow, wouldn't it be great if they could do a mural, just one little mural on Segundo Ruiz Belvis or somewhere near Segundo Ruiz Belvis. When the hurricane happened, we went directly and connected with them to help them in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Mm. So that area got destroyed. Some of the most beautiful murals got destroyed, everything. And they had no power, nothing. And they were using, El Instituto de Subcultura was like a centro de acopio, right? Which means a place where everybody brings food to distribute to the community. Mm. And all those neighbors were helping each other like crazy. There's another establishment called Psychodeli by Mike Rivera.
Yeah.
And Mike Rivera is the former guitarist for Calle 13.
Oh, okay.
And they're like brothers. And he's a conceptual sculpture artist.
Mm-hmm.
He's also coming.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And so basically, I saw this community and I was like obviously super drawn to the art, and we went and we helped them get solar panels for the project that's gonna be this the first off the grid gallery in Puerto Rico, if they can make it happen, which I know they will, because and now they're talking about how being off the grid is kind of illegal in Puerto Rico. You really can't do it. They're putting all kinds of restrictions on it. They're gonna make it happen. And and we, through the Chicago Hurricane Aid for Puerto Rican Arts and all the fundraising that we've been doing, we got them the solar panels. And the guy, you know, obviously we had the conversation with Alexis about coming to Chicago, and he was all about it. Started convincing, talking to the artists about coming. And we now have 7 of the best muralists from Puerto Rico coming. And just to give you an idea of the names, this guy, Biquismo, he just came from one of the biggest public art festivals in Belgium.
I just saw that. He did a nice piece.
A 90-foot tall, amazing mural. And he's a hyper-realist. Mm-hmm. So his style is the chrome, right?
Yeah.
So like you have this... He uses as a logo the toaster, because the toaster has the reflection, right?
Oh, yeah.
So his thing is about capturing the reflection in the hyper-realism, and it's just everything is like these chrome liquid metal. It's
the stuff that he did in that festival was crazy. Like, it was, they had all these cargo, ¿cómo se llama?
They just like put stacked up,
yeah,
a whole
bunch of stacked up, like, yeah, real high up. And he did. They. I'm like, how do you even think of doing that, man? That's amazing. So he's coming.
He's coming. Uh-huh. And we have Colectivo Moribibi, which mm-hmm. is they became really famous. They just came from China, actually, to do a big mural in China. But aside from that, they're super young, amazing women. Their themes are very strong, very, you know, about, you know, just the Puerto Rican experience. And there was a recent controversy because they did this beautiful mural in La Fernández Junco in Santurce. Mm-hmm. And it's like going to the expressway. It was like beautiful. And it had a woman exposed, mm-hmm. you know, with her breasts out. And it was part of like this
fight
for... and this very strong message, and it was the face. They mm-hmm. painted over a bra.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it created this movement where people would go there. Well, first, they restored it completely, and it created this movement where, like, people were like, all these women were going there and taking their tops off and taking pictures. Like, you're not going to censor us, you know, and it was amazing. So they're coming.
Nice.
And they're doing a piece inside of Segundo Ruiz Belvis.
So awesome. Oh, that's wow.
gonna be amazing. Yeah.
So the one that that Biquismo is working on, is that mm-hmm. going to be at the center, or is it going to be around here?
So I don't want to give away the walls just yet, because we're right now we're negotiating with the alderman and all these things, and we have the walls, but we also want to distribute accordingly because they all have different designs and styles. Mm-hmm. So we don't. We know for sure that Luis Alejandro Rodriguez from Ponce is going to go there, and he's coming with something very amazing. That's all I have to say. and I know that, you know, we're going to have another amazing artist, like the Stencil Network is coming also. Mm-hmm. Mark Rivera is a conceptual artist, so he's going to be doing this art installation at the 606 with an interactive sculpture.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's great.
Plantando bandera en el
606. They're going to be also doing some, they're going to have these giant easels, and like all these artists are going to be there that's great. At the 606.
Now, is there a date for the 606 one?
And the 23rd?
The 23rd of June. The public could come to that? Or?
Yeah, it's open to the public. Basically, the public art series starts on the 22nd. With the meet the artist kind mm-hmm. of thing, we're inviting the community to just come, so that they know who are the people that are gonna be painting the walls, of their neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. So there's gonna be that kind of engagement and how community and public art intersect, and that's gonna be the conversation on the 22nd. Right. If you go to our Facebook page, you can sign up for all the events. That there's no limit; everything is free. Free. And if you want to donate, thank you. And we'll use it for the artists because we have a lot of expenses. And but we have gotten some amazing sponsorships to make this happen.
So if you have the chance right now, follow Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural Center on Facebook, Instagram as well.
Right now, most of the information of the events and everything is easily accessible on Facebook.
And that's easy by searching Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural Center. If you, by any chance, see another one, that's not the one. It'll be the one on 4048 West Armitage, right? So that's the
I think that there's only one.
I think hopefully that's the other one, right?
No, I think we're the only one. Yeah. We better be. With that long name that we have, we better be the only ones. Yeah.
So on Facebook, go ahead and subscribe or like the Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural Center, so that we know exactly, so that you know exactly when the events are happening. You could purchase tickets or get the tickets ahead of time, so that you could get in for free to some of these events.
All the events are free, and they go there. We're gonna have events. Also, we're gonna be doing a tribute to Gamaliel Ramirez, the great muralist mm-hmm. that just passed away from Puerto Rico. We just brought 30 of his most iconic acrylic pieces. When I was in Puerto Rico, we brought those here. That was part of the Chicago Hurricane Aid and for Puerto Rican arts, and the work with the Puerto Rican Agenda also that we're doing. So we connected with the family, and we said, we can help you with this. And the artist, it was his intention. He needed to come to the U.S. because he was very delicate in health and could receive better treatment here. But he said, there's no way I'm leaving without my artwork. So as we were trying to get the artwork, he died. So that's a, you know, It's going to be an amazing event where the Puerto Rican muralists are going to pay tribute to him also.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's going to be on the 24th. Everybody's invited. It's open to the public, and that's how the family wanted it and how the artists wanted it, so that it would be open to the community. We're going to have some of his more iconic pieces available and a slideshow, and people would read poems and
that's
talk
great.
About Gabriel on the 24th. And then there's going to be also Portraits of Puerto Rico, which is a series of mini documentaries that were created by Alexis Busquets, the founder of Santurce's Ley, and the Foundation for Puerto Rico is sponsoring that night.
Wow.
And they're actually coming from Puerto Rico also, to the producers from Foundation of Puerto Rico, the creative director, who's Alexis Busquets.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be analyzing these mini documentaries on the Puerto Rican story of the arts in different towns of Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria.
Yeah. So, I know we've put a lot of dates out there, but what I'm also going to do... No.
It's like, we have this date, this one, and this one.
What we'll do is also on the description of this podcast, we'll put down all the dates. So when you're listening to a podcast, you quickly go up and scroll up and see the dates on there and the link to the Facebook page here for the Segundo Ruiz Belvis Cultural Center. We're getting to the end of the podcast. I wanted to once again say thank you for letting us use the space, and also for these exciting new things that I can't wait to do some of these interviews with the street muralist and artist and all these different musicians. As a fellow musician myself, I get geeked
out. He's geeked
out.
I could see it. I could feel it coming from it.
I love it. I just love talking music and you know, shop talk. So.
And, you know, we ran out of the free tickets online, but if you come the day of the show and you say, La Verdad podcast told me it was free, you can get in for free to the IFE show, okay?
But so they got to like us on it. Facebook. They
yeah,
have to have
and,
like
and if they tell you no at the door, have them find me, okay? But yeah, you got to like La Verdad on Facebook. That's
awesome,
right.
Awesome.
And you got to show it.
Show us your
phone. Show us
prove
you
it.
Like us on all the platforms. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Be on the lookout. We're going to have a bunch of different podcasts coming out. Usually, so for those that are listening for the first time, the audio version of this podcast gets released on Thursday, which will be this Thursday coming up. You'll hear the audio version. You can hear us through on your Apple. If you have an Apple or iOS device, the podcast app is already on there. You can't even delete it. If you have an Android device, you could listen to us on Spotify or even the Google Play. You can find us there. If you're on a desktop computer, just go to our website, www.laveldadltd.com. And it'll take you directly out over to the podcast so that you could hear this. And then we're also going to have this on video format. So if you want to go ahead and share that as well with anyone else that might be interested in coming to these events here at the center, go ahead and share the Facebook video. So once again, thank you so much. Thank you guys for tuning in. And make sure that you like the Segundo Ruiz Belvis.
Like, share, all that stuff.
Peace and God bless.